Hello, 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 and welcome to Holding Space with Whitney Jean. I'm your host, Whitney, and I am so grateful that you are here. Whether this is your first episode with me or you are returning, I am beyond grateful that the universe has led you to this exact moment, to this exact space with me. I cannot wait to share today's episode with you. I hope you enjoy. Hello, friends. Boy, do I have a story for you guys today. Some of you may have heard the story. I recently shared it on my TikTok in like a 25-part series. It was a little excessive. And some of you may have heard it in person. It was one of those things where this story, I actually couldn't verbally get out of my mouth for months. I tried because I wanted to share. I wanted to tell people because it was like the craziest fucking thing that's ever happened to me. And the craziest fucking thing that, like, straight out of a movie. But there was so much emotion that came with it that I found myself every single time that I would tell the story, the hair would begin to stand up on my arm, and it still does. But then all of this emotion would bubble up because it was so fresh, even up to like 6 months later. So I'm excited to share this with you guys. It has been almost a year to the day, which is crazy. I believe it started on my birthday last year, or it the night before, which is August 4th, which is right around the corner. Oh my gosh. And so in honor of it being almost a year, I wanted to bring this story to my podcast platform so that you guys could get this thorough story without me having to cut it into pieces like I did on TikTok. And what's interesting is, like, even though I had a hard time telling a story, the little bit that I did share, I shared with quite a few people. And so the other day I was sitting, I think it was, I was at the hair salon and I was getting my hair done, and I told my hairstylist about it. And I was like, I haven't told you about this. And she was mind blown at this story. And I was like, well, apparently I haven't told everybody about this, even though I feel like I've told everybody because I've told this story so many times. And so I thought, hey, what better place than right here on the podcast to dive into a really freaking wild, juicy, out of the movie story of what happened. So a little background. I went to a luxury business women's retreat over in San Diego last August. And I was really fucking excited to do this. First of all, when I invested in this, it was, we were on our way camping, actually, when I invested in this retreat. And I'm trying to think for a minute. I remember the exact moment that I purchased it. I'm fairly certain we were heading out to go camping. We had just gotten our camper. So did I invest in this like a month before? Maybe it was sooner than that. I can't remember, but it was early in the summer that I invested in this, a couple months before. And it was one of those things where I was like, yes, sent over the payment. It was the biggest investment that I had ever made at one point in time in anything. Like, I've done bigger investments, but paid over like a 12-month span. But to send over $5,000 for a retreat was like mind-blowing. But I was like, it's my birthday weekend that we're going to ring in 28 as an extraordinary, or in an extraordinary way. And I was just so excited. I was like, yes, like, this is a full body yes. And I didn't even hesitate. And she sent me the payment link. I paid for it. And I was like, babe, I'm going to this retreat over my birthday, which is crazy because usually I'm the one that is like, let's all celebrate. It's my birthday. It's the best day of the year. What are we going to do? Let's go get some drinks. Let's go party. Let's go have the time of our life. But I was transitioning into the season where it was like business was thriving. My work was thriving. I was having more impact on my clients than I've ever had before. I was more in my power than I've ever been before. And I truly was at a point where I was like, how does life get better than this? Continuously investing in myself. Last year, my accountant, when we were going over my stuff at the end of the year, she's like, do you realize how much money you've spent in mentorship and coaching and continued education? And I'm like, no, but I bet that number is really high. She's like, you've spent over 50%, I think it was like 60% of your income on continued education and reinvesting in yourself. And I'm like, fuck yes. Like, this is the dream, to be able to take any freaking course that I want, to invest in the mentors that I want, to be able to go to the retreats that I want to expand me. What I really learned was that it was, my business was thriving because I was thriving. My business was thriving and expanding because I was thriving and expanding. It was evolving because I was evolving. And I am such an advocate for investing in yourself, whether that's digital programs, whether that's somatic body work to really feel anchored in your body and feel safe in your body, whether that's going to a 3-day retreat where it's just a vortex for healing and expansion, whether that's hiring your dream mentor and just walking alongside them. And what I've really realized in that aspect was that it doesn't take much on their end. It just being in their energy for me is so expansive for me. And I've really anchored into that belief this year with mentorship and how it's not so much about what they say. It's not so much about what they share, but it's really about who they are. And walking with people who you're like, I want to be more embodied like they are. I want to embody my power in the way that they do. I want to embody my authority in the way that they do. I want to embody softness in the way that they do. I want to see life through their eyes. That is the value of mentorship and coaching. And so for me, I found so much value last year in the money that I invested in myself. Like, I would do it over and over and over again. Even looking at that total of money that was spent, like, a lot of people would be like, oh my gosh, you spent that much money. And it's like, yes. And I would do it 10 times over again, because the person that I became through that, the person that I am now through that, is unrecognizable. The value there is unrecognizable. And so it was investing in this retreat space was like a soul fucking yes. Like, this is how I want to start this next year. This is how I want to start 28. And so but it was me, and it was my first trip that I've ever gone on that it was like just me. Like, I didn't have a partner with me. I didn't have a friend with me. I mean, I've gone to Vegas with a girlfriend, with my sister. I've gone to all kinds of places with my partner, but like, to go somewhere where I'm going to be with other women, but nobody that I actually know previously, I'm going to go to the space and we're just going to have the time of our life expanding and growing and evolving and all of the things. Fuck yes, I'm in. Like, let's do it. This is a stretch for me. I'm doing it. And so we went to this retreat. But I keep saying I went to this retreat and met all of the humans there. And it was extraordinary. They made me cupcakes for my birthday. How sweet is that? And we went deep into what it is that was limiting us, what it was that was holding us back, where we felt stuck, where we could expand into, like, finding clarity around what it is that we desire. It was through that weekend that I really found a lot of clarity in, I desire freedom and I desire space. And what I mean by that is, like, to live on a property where I can't see my neighbors, where there's room to breathe, like, even having chickens and, or maybe some goats, and living in a space that has space, or living in a big home that has minimal items, but lots of space in the home. I desired space. And like, those are two examples, like, of living situations, but where else in life did I desire space? I desired space in business, like, space to be, space to exist, space to explore, space to expand. I desire space flying first class on an airplane, having more space so that you don't feel like you're as packed into the plane like sardines, having space there. just like the desire to be in space and have a lot of space around me. And through that clarity, I was like, okay, now I know what I want to create. And it's so interesting how much resistance I had to even just getting clear on that, because I was like, well, I don't want to leave anything out. But what I recognized in finding clarity was that the space held so much value to me. Like when I tapped into that energetic space for me, that space and freedom, like my whole body lit up. And I realized that there were infinite possibilities within that emotion, within that space, within that container. Like, and I don't even want to call it a container, because like it, there were no edges. It was like an edgeless container, if that makes sense. There was so much value within there, within that clarity that I had been resisting for so long. And I felt that resistance like release. Another thing that happened that weekend that was absolutely extraordinary, not in the moment, was that I really faced a lot of my inner child stuff. And I'm still seeing that coming up in the mastermind that I'm in currently, that I invested in this year with a high level mentor, was that I felt like I didn't belong, like to stand side by side with all of these really powerful women and to stand in my power was really difficult for me. And I felt all my wounded inner child come up in all of the years that like I was the last to be picked for dodgeball. My friend group would go on family vacations with each other and like I was never invited. I was always the last one picked, never invited to anything, like always the odd woman out. And so I felt all of that bubble up within this experience, within this retreat. And I remember on the first night we went and stayed, I was staying in the room and I called my husband and I was like, I just want to come home. Like, I don't even want to be here, to be honest. Like, I don't belong here. This isn't for me. I don't want to be here. I miss you. I want to come home. And he's like, babe, just get some sleep. You can reevaluate this in the morning. It's been a long first day. Like there's a lot of feelings. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Bleh. Okay. And so I went to sleep that night and I woke up the next morning immediately with a download. And when I wrote down in my journal, like what was going on and asking questions, what I realized was that this was my inner child coming up. It had nothing to do with the current situation. Like it wasn't the current Whitney that was struggling with this. This was the inner child Whitney, the one that didn't feel like she could take up space, the one that felt inferior, the one that didn't feel good enough, the one that didn't feel powerful enough or expansive enough, or all these things. Like I was sitting around this space on this couch doing coaching, all of this with women who are making $30,000 to $100,000 a month. Like a month. That's nuts. Like $500,000 to over $1 million a year. These women around me. And I was like, who am I to be here? Like, I don't fit in. I'm not like, I want to be like, I've always strived on the space of like, I'm going to put myself in a room where I am the small fish because I want to grow to be the big fish like them. And I want to be impacted and I want to be feel their energy and I want to learn from them and I want to expand from them. And like, there's so much curiosity in that space for me. But in this moment, my inner, and as current Whitney, but then in that moment as inner child Whitney was like, holy fuck, this, they're so big. How do I shine my light as bright as I normally shine it when I feel like everyone around me is so big? And what if my problems are, they laugh at it and they think, oh my gosh, that's a problem. Like you're worried about that. Like, my problems have to be so small compared to their problems. Like my questions have to be so dumb compared to their questions. But what I realized through this was that, no, we're all the same. Whether you're making $1,000 a month, $10,000 a month, $100,000 a month, it's all the same. A lot of people are struggling with the same things. They're questioning the same aspects about themselves. They have the same questions. They're having the same battles. they're also having very similar wins. It's just about the capacity in which they can hold and how big they want to be and they can be and they can hold. And so I really realized through that weekend that, like, we're all the same. There's so much, we're all unique, 1000%, but like also a lot of us are struggling with the same things. And we may look at someone and be like, oh my God, they have it all together. Oh my gosh, they are thriving in business. Oh my gosh, their life is perfect. But behind the scenes, they're struggling in their relationship. Behind the scenes, they're asking the same questions. Behind the scenes, they're very similar to us and they're still human. And what I realized being in that room is, in that room with very successful women, not a single one of them looked down on me. It was all a projection from me and my inner child. Not a single one of them thought I was less than. Not a single one of them was mocking me. Not a single one of them thought she doesn't deserve a seat at this table. They were all welcoming and kind and loving and fun and charming and magnetic. And we all belonged there. We chose to sit at that table together. And so any projections that were coming up, it was like a fast track to, okay, I need to sit with this. I need to heal this. I need to look at this. I need to feel this. It's really interesting because when you sit with women, like the women I sat with, who are experiencing wild success that's beyond a lot of people's capacity to even comprehend, you would think, well, they have it all. They must be snooty. Like, there's all of these preconceived notions that come with, one, women in power, two, women with money, or really anybody with money. And I can tell you now, they were some of the kindest, most loving, most heart-forward, most giving, most generous people I've ever met. And they didn't want to see me lose or fail, or anybody fail. They want to see you win. They want to collaborate. They want to expand together. They believe that there's more than enough for everybody. And those are the people that I want to sit with. I want to sit with the people who believe that everybody has the ability to pursue their dreams and chase their dreams and achieve their dreams. I want to sit with the women who believe in your power, who see your power and speak life and light into you. That was these women. And I had to get over myself. And I had to sit with my inner child with all of those wounds around not being chosen and choose myself and choose to be here in this container and receive it fully. And it was incredible. So as we went through this weekend, there was a lot of breakthroughs, like micro deaths and rebirths over and over and over again. And by the end of the weekend, I was sitting outside by the pool. Some people had left, and I just experienced this like total and complete stillness. What I would compare it to is this space of the void. I talk about the void in my quantum class, Quantum by Design. I've talked about it likely on the podcast as well. If not, I probably will talk about it. But the void is this beautiful space where it's like you're not who you were and you're not who you're becoming yet. And it's a space between, and it's a space of stillness. Typically, a lot of fears come up, doubts, etc. But like, this was a pure moment of stillness for me. Like, I felt like I was out of time and space. For the first time ever, I truly felt like I was in space, in time. Not time was moving regardless. Like, I wish I could put words to this. You know, I speak a ton in the, specifically the quantum class, about how we are not running out of time, but we're running in time. And that was a moment, one of the first moments where I truly felt like I was in time, that it wasn't running out, that it wasn't moving. Like, it felt so still. And I was like, I wonder what's going to happen after this weekend. Like, I wonder what's going to shift and change. And like, what are the possibilities? And even just tapping into the memory of this, like, I feel jittery and excited. I'm like, God, that was extraordinary. I need to do it again. But what happened after this was like absolutely mind-blowing. So like that was the extraordinary part of the weekend. And then, and now I'm going to tell you the story that like will rock your socks off. So the night before the last, so it went Thursday night to Monday morning. Some people left Sunday night. Sunday night was when I was sitting in front of the pool and everything felt so still. Saturday night, we were there on the back edge of this property. There was this beautiful little sauna. Like it was a steam sauna. And you walk down some steps. It was really beautiful. It, absolutely extraordinary. And there was a sauna. So a group of us went down there and we were sitting in the sauna. We warmed it up, sat in there for 25 minutes, got out, and began walking up. When we got to the top of the stairs and we were walking through the grass, we heard this rustling in the trees. And I'm from North Idaho. So rustling in the trees really isn't a thing, like a big deal. Like my immediate thought went to, oh, there's probably an animal in there. Earlier that day, I had been doing, we had been doing yoga and there was a rustling in the trees and it was a bunny that was hopping through. And so my mind immediately went to that. Like I turned in a, and in hindsight, multiple of us had turned to look at these trees rustling and dismissed it and continued walking. Like, of course it's going to be an animal. And so we go on, continue our night, continue the last day. And that last night, a couple of the women went home. They lived in the California area. So it was just, they were ready to go home, see their partners and sleep in their own bed. And so they went home. The gal facilitating the retreat, she went home. Her team was still there. And it was just like this really quiet night. We only like 75% of the women that started there were there. It was quiet. Everybody kind of was like in this like still space, packing their bags, getting ready for the next day to leave in the morning. Some of them staying in San Diego for another week to explore through, go to different Airbnbs and just like explore the area. Myself flying out in the morning early, like I think my flight was at like 8 a.m. And so everything was kind of quiet. Everybody was kind of hanging out to themselves, reflecting, sitting in the energy, marinating in the energy. And I went downstairs and I went and got a glass of water. And I remember just thinking, as I'm looking at all of these glass window doors on the back of the house, like, I feel like I'm in a fishbowl. I feel like somebody could be standing out there or sitting out there and looking in, and like, I wouldn't know. They could be doing it, I don't know. And like for the first time I got this feeling of like, ooh, like somebody could be watching. And so I grabbed my water, I ran upstairs, like I did when I was a child, like, oh my God, I gotta run up the stairs before the boogeyman gets me. And went into my room, finished packing, ended up turning off the lights, going to bed. I had such a hard time sleeping that night. Like I would be right on the verge of sleeping and then I'd be jolted awake, right on the verge of sleeping, jolted awake. And in the middle of the night, I was like, I don't think I locked my bedroom door. So I'm going to just get up and lock the bedroom door. So I did, got back down into the bed, curled up, finally fell asleep. And I don't know, this was, I don't know when I fell asleep, but then around 3 a.m., I'm jolted awake to someone screaming, somebody help me. Here come the hair standing up on my arms. And on that first one, like that pulled me out of my sleep. And then on the second, somebody help me, I was up out of the bed. And by the third one, somebody help me, I was outside the door. And it's so wild where our mind goes to immediately when we're in a situation like this. Like I thought somebody was having, and a completely different girl that was calling out, somebody help me. I thought it was someone completely different. And I thought they were having a night terror. That was my immediate, like, oh, I have to go help someone come out of a night terror. Like somebody's having a bad dream. And so I come out and then the light's on the end, other end of the hallway than what I expected. And I turn. And my friend is wrapped in this blanket and she's like, somebody help me. There's a naked man in my room. Is the hair on your arm standing up like mine? And I'm like, what? Like, I'm awake, but I'm half awake because I just came out of a dead fucking sleep. And so I run down the hallway and she has the master, like, suite, you could say, in this home. And so it's a king-size bed. Right behind the bed is a wall just behind the bed. And then it's open along the sides. To the right, there's a big bubble bath. Her room has all windows, but there's also shades that come down. And then on the left-hand side is the closet with mirrors. And then behind this wall, like, if you walk around the corner, is a shower, the sink, like it's a studio space. And she points to this wall and she's like, there's a naked man in my room. And I'm like, what? And so I run around the wall, and it's so funny because when I told this story to my sister, she's like, you just ran around the wall, you didn't worry, like, does this naked man have a knife? And I was like, no. Didn't even cross my mind. Does this naked man have a gun? No, didn't even cross my mind. And I run around this wall and there is a naked man standing in front of me. Higher than a kite. He must have been on something like heroin. Face sunken in. Big green eyes. And dark, messy, unkempt hair. His skin... He looked like a marshmallow when you roast a marshmallow and it gets that perfect golden, like, crisp around the edge. That's the way his skin looked. Like, you're like, he might be homeless. He has seen a lot of sun. And I'm looking in his eyes, and then I look back to my friend and I'm like, what the fuck is this really happening? And she's like, I woke up to him over top of me. Naked. And he was mumbling things like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to hurt you. I love you. I'm sorry, I'm not going to hurt you. I love you. And I was like, what the fuck? And I turn around and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And one of the things that I want you to know, like, in this whole thing, when I saw her eyes and I saw the fear in her eyes, this instinct, like this mama bear instinct, immediately kicked in, and it was like, I need to help her. I need to protect her. And like anything else went out the window. Like that was the only thing running through my body. And I looked at her, and the fear was still in her eyes as she's wrapped in this blanket. And I turn around and I'm like, get the fuck out. And he's like moving in slow motion. He thinks he's moving so fast, but he's moving in slow motion, trying to pick up his clothes that are on the ground. And it's just like, I'm like 30 seconds later, I'm like, get the fuck out. As he's trying to pick all this up, he ends up taking her swimsuit and a pair of brown lace underwear with him. But I was like, I just need to get him out. And then he went out a door that I didn't even know went outside from her room. So clearly that was the door that he came in. He went out. I shut the door, locked it, and was like, fuck, he's out. One of the gals was down the hallway. Actually, everybody else was down the hallway. None of them were in the room, talking to the cops on the phone. And because at some point we're like, call the cops. And so they're talking on the phone with the cops. They're down the hallway. And the cops show up probably 5 minutes later. And I'm like, he must have came in through this door. He had to have known. Well, earlier that day, one of the girls had walked through that door because on the other side of the door was the gal who facilitated the retreat's room. And so she was bringing something to her room and they thought they locked it. And so did the gal staying in the room because she's very like aware of that kind of stuff. And like, that is something that she's always feared. And so she thought she locked it, but it must not have latched all the way. And so I'm like, he must've came in this room. The cops came. They searched the property. They didn't find him. They didn't really do much beyond that. And then they're like, well, do you want us to file a crime report? And I'm like, fuck yeah, we do. Like, what? There's like 15 cops on the property and they didn't do really jack shit other than search the property. And like, I'm like, he's walking around naked. He's around here somewhere in a bush. Like, what? And so we were giving our statements and I was like, well, he's walking around naked. He has her swimsuit bottoms. And he also has a pair of her brown lace underwear. And she's like, I didn't have brown lace underwear on the floor there. And I'm like, I saw them in his hand though. And she's like, my bag was packed. I don't even have brown lace underwear with me. So I don't know where the fuck he'd been before, but he had some woman's underwear in his hand that he took with. And in the place, when we went back up, in the place where he had been taken off all of his clothes, there were leaves from the bushes outside in the where the clothes were. So that rustling that we had heard in the trees the night before was absolutely him in the trees. He'd been sitting out there for days. He knew exactly how to get in the house through that door, through this back door that's not very visible. He knew exactly how to get in. So he obviously had been in there before. He'd obviously been watching. And we're like, what the hell? Like, of course we want you to file a crime report. Also, what the fuck? And so after all this was said and done, everything, we locked up the house, made sure everything was locked, the cops left. I had to leave. This was like at 3 a.m. I had to leave. But I think my taxi was coming at 5. So I only, and by that time they left, it was like 4. So I never went back to bed. I don't know that I could have even if I tried. And I was wearing my Apple Watch that day. Well, rewind a little bit. I sent a text to my husband. I didn't want to wake him up from a dead sleep with this panic. So I didn't call him, but I texted him. So when he did wake up, he knew. I sent him a message and I said, hey, a man broke into our Airbnb. Everything's okay. I'm fine. Just call me when you wake up. Because I didn't want to like freak him all the way out. You know what I mean? And so I wore my Apple Watch that day. And when I went to the airport, I looked at my heart rate and like my heart rate was a steady like 115 for the whole day. My nervous system was shot from going from dead asleep to face to face, kicking a naked man out of the space. Like my nervous system was on high alert. And I was telling Sean, I was like, the situation was so scary. And like, everybody responds so differently in these fight or flight situations. Like, do you have the fawn response? Do you have the flight response? Do you have the fight response? Like, what is it that you do? And every situation is going to be different, of course, too. Like, there'll be situations where you have the fawn response, but where you have the flight response. And there will be situations where you have the fight response. And in this one, I had the fight. Everybody else had the fawn response where they were stuck where they were, like they couldn't move. Where I went in and I was telling him, I'm like, I'm so grateful that my room ended up being right next to hers so that I could get there and I could help her and I could protect her and I could be there with her and go through this with her. Like, there's so much gratitude. But I also had to navigate the feelings of like, why did it have to be me? Why did I have to be the one, even though I chose it? Like, when you're processing this, there are so many emotions that come up, let me tell you. There was also, I was angry for a while. I was like, why didn't anybody else come in and help? And in hindsight, like once you process all these feelings and you don't shame yourself for having any of them, I didn't shame myself for being angry with everyone. There were moments where I was like, you need to calm down. Like, people are going to respond differently. Like, that logical mind came in, that space of conditioning came in. And I was like, no, I'm going to allow myself to feel this anger. Like, it's nothing against them. I'm just angry. Like, this is just the emotional state that I'm in and I'm allowed to feel this way. And so I allowed myself to be angry. I allowed myself to be angry that I was put in that situation. I allowed myself to be angry that I had to go through that. I allowed myself to feel grief that was the way that I had to end this incredible weekend. I allowed myself to feel gratitude and so much love that I got to be a part of that, in the sense of like, I got to be there with her. Like, thank God she didn't have to go through that alone. Thank God that she didn't have to be there by herself, that she could feel supported. Thank God. And so I had all of these mixed feelings, and I just, my heart rate was high. My husband woke up when I was at the airport, because mind you, when I got to the airport and I was sitting down when he finally called me, it was still only like 6:30. So he had rolled over to check his phone and saw my message. And I was telling him the story, and I was like, it's freaking wild. And my heart rate all day was high. I came home and had a glass of wine with my husband, and I just wept and wept and wept, because all of that adrenaline, all of that emotion, all of that feeling, all of that, my nervous system, it was like, it, as soon as I sat on the couch with my husband, I hit his arms, and we were sitting there with my glass of wine, I was like, it was like all the walls came down, all of the protective mechanisms, like everything that I had been doing to kind of keep control over myself for the full day and keep it together, just melted. And I just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And it was literally months, like I said in the beginning, where I was able to talk about this. Like, it was literally months before I was able to be like, okay, like, this is what happened, without literally losing my shit, without sobbing. And like, even now, it's a year later, and I'm noticing there is a little bit of emotion there. So there's still some things to process, but also could be just tapping into that emotion and that energetic space. And it was one hell of a weekend. And what's interesting to me is, in that moment when I was face to face with him, I was like, I know you. Like, there was this recognition. And so every fiber in my being knows that this was a soul contract. Something as crazy as this doesn't happen by accident. I don't believe in accidents or coincidences. This was a soul contract. There was a space that, and this was like an initiation by fire, where I had to step into that space of protective mama bear. I needed to step in that place of power. Like, when I was like, get the fuck out. Emotionally and energetically, I feel like if I could physically shapeshift, I would. I shapeshifted into a fucking lion. And I was the one who was like, you are not going to fuck with it, my people. You are not going to fuck with me. You do not belong here. You are not invited here. Get the fuck out. And in hindsight, like, I think about him and I'm like, I really hope he finds the light. This makes me the most emotional, this part of it. It's like, I really hope he finds the light inside of him. I really hope that he finds the healing. Yes, he wasn't welcome there. Yes, he had to get the fuck out. Yes, he crossed a massive boundary. And I really hope he finds the light. I really hope he finds a reason to live, to really live. Does it stop numbing whatever is going on inside? Because that's what drugs do in that sense. It's a sense of numbing. Avoidance. Not wanting to look at what's in there. And sometimes that's really fucking scary. And I really hope that he finds the courage. Finds out how brave he truly is. And finds his light. So yeah, straight out of a movie, most extraordinary weekend. That was out of a movie, like a dream weekend to nightmare weekend, nightmare night, both out of a movie. And yeah, I wouldn't change a thing, to be honest. I wouldn't change a thing. My whole life changed in that weekend. It really was a weekend of stepping into my power, leaning into my feminine, leaning into that softness, that stillness, allowing myself to believe bigger things, I was worthy of them, while also recognizing that, like, just because I'm leaning into the softness of my feminine doesn't mean that I can immediately not... that will keep me from stepping into my masculine or stepping into that fierce feminine. when I need to be protected, and then I'll know how to do that. What it reminds me of actually is those who are like splenic authorities in human design, like, and they're actually in alignment and they're not in the fight or flight response, which is the imbalanced version. Like where they're instantly in that space when they need to be in that space. That is what I would describe it as. Like, you immediately know there's a threat. You're immediately available for that. And once your nervous system calms down, you do the things to help self-regulate, which I'm so grateful for, you guys. I do this work every day with people. Like, we work through PTSD. We work through trauma that's stored in the body. We work through all of these things. Like, I have tools that I share with my clients. And I do this work every single day. And I can tell you that using this work for myself through this processing, night and day difference. Because I was moving through this with the intention of, I'm going to walk this path. I will take as long as it needs. I need to process this, but I'm going to process this. I am not a victim. I'm not going to stay in this energetic space. I'm not going to hold on to this. I actually choose to release all of this, regardless of the amount of time that it takes, because it doesn't have anything to do with the time. We are going to release this. We are going to let this go. And a year later, I'm sleeping in my house without my husband. And there were nights where I called him and I was like, you need to come home. He was out and about with work friends or with friends. And I was like, and it was nighttime and I heard a noise or my dog barked or what have you. And I immediately was sent into fight or flight. And I was like, I called him crying and I was like, I need you to come home and I need you to come home right now. Like, there were moments of that. And now my husband works out of town sometimes and I can sleep soundly in my bed without the TV on, without a lot of noise, with the lights completely off, and I can feel safe and secure in my body again, which this man could have robbed from me. But I am the one with the power. I am the one that gets to choose, just like you. And I chose to reclaim my power. I chose to walk the path of finding safety within my body again. And it was the greatest decision that I have ever made.
I just want to take a moment to express my gratitude for you allowing me to be a part of your journey through this podcast. It brings me so much pleasure and so much joy to be a contribution to you in any way that I possibly can. If you loved what you heard today, or if you were triggered by what was said today, I would love if you would leave me a review with any epiphanies, anything that was cleared up for you, any episode favorites, so that I can continue offering you and creating valuable content that is a contribution to you. I would just be so, so thankful. And you can do that on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for taking time to be in this space with me. I love you so much.